After the Shmaya that Rav Avi has encouraged, and we've met Thursday night after Thursday night, and it's been a pleasure. It's been a shiur that I look forward to learning the Parashas HaShavua, and really to get together with the Chevra and learn Divrei Torah on the Parasha. Tonight's a difficult night. Tonight I'm not moving with the balance in the step, and tonight I'm pushing. We're not maspid yet till the Kfura, but it's a very, I can't not say tonight. It's a very, very difficult night. It's hard to push, to move. The world to me is a different place right now. In a practical sense, there was the world of a few hours ago and there's the world now. It's a different world. Kipshutai mamish. Reb Shlomo Gissinger was nifter. And to me, in a personal level, my wife and I was zeicha to ask shaylus, both in halacha, both in hadracha, and in eitzos advice. And then we've watched many, many, many people who relied, tremendously relied on Reb Gissinger for the, all different matters. And it's just, it's a different world. Be'ez Hashem, they'll be aspedim and there'll be time, and you're not maspid yet. I think I could say now the loss, just the loss of what, of a yid who was a shalem, a yid shlemus. It comes to mind to me, shlemus. I speak a lot, great people have contradictions. My wife and I have said this for years, he was one of the most contradictory people I ever met. And I'll tell you the contradiction that struck me for years. I've said this for years. If you know the Enneagram, there's a type 5 personality. They're very cerebral. They're thinking people. They get very stuck up here. Everything's analyzed and thought out and maybe overthought. Like a 5 is a thinker type. And Rav Gissinger, to all who knew him, he was so measured. Such a thought out. Every conversation, I was zeicha to speak to him for hours. And every conversation was so thought out. Deliberate, careful. It was almost, I don't want to say frustrating because he was so delicious and warm and sweet, but it was almost like a little slow, the conversation. He was thinking each word, each sentence, each idea. Such a cerebral person, so thought out. And typically people like that they're a little detached from others. They're thinkers. And the other side of the coin was such a warm connector, understanding of all, loving of all, with a good joke, a warm comment, such a lover, such a warm connecting person. In the Enneagram it would be called a 2. I don't know what he was naturally. I don't know what was the natural and what was worked on. What was worked on, what was natural, developed person. So thought out and such a warm connector. The loss of somebody who was so kind to all different types of yidden, so separate, I couldn't see him, no shaykh, the word politics and this tzaddik, like no shaykhs. He didn't fit, there was no camp, there was nothing. The word gadlus, so what gadol means, we've spoken many times, gadlus is chesed. It's to be about others. This was a person who would live for the tzibur. He would belong to everybody. To all hours, I was in his house many times. People, all hours of the night, all hours were in his house. All different types of people. From Shalom Bayis and Yanim, to Parnasa Eitzes, to medical things that he was very knowledgeable in, to all different areas, to Paskin and Shailas. So involved, so given over, so muster to the tzibur. So the taich of gadol is large and big, is not selfish. So given, the line of Reb Chaim V'lajim, Leinivra Adam Elohei Lachriti. A person's created to be there for others. But to him, there's another word of gadlus that comes to mind to me. The gadlus of just being hired, so not petty. There was no shaykhis to pettiness, to political considerations, different groups. He didn't say that. And no shaykhis. No shaykhis to this group. Ashkenaz, Svard, Hasidish, Litvish. Gadlus, higher, bigger. larger than the pettiness, than the small stuff of a different uptight of gadlus. Such a big person about big things, about important things, the petty things that people get caught up and trapped and worried about weren't part of his life. Such gadlus, higher, living the important things of what matter, not petty stuff, not silly things that distract others. Hashem's Torah, Hashem's people, that's what mattered to this gadol. It was about others. Say the term gadlus, which is somebody who's about others, who's not living just for self, who's so large and expansive. And say gadlus, not being stuck down at silly things, at unimportant matters, but just bigger and larger, what's valuable and what's precious. Too often, it's not understood in Psak, Rabbi say. People say a Pesach, a person's not let a Paskin if they don't know people. You're not let a Paskin. You're not allowed. Rev Gissinger was a Pesach for so many. I called Shilas, my wife and I called Shilas, because I saw a Yid who understood every person, that's the scenario and the case. The reason this is so precious, there's a specific point why it's precious to me. There are people that know Torah, but they don't know people, and they're not a Pesach. They're not a Pesach if you don't know people. I once asked my Rebbe about a person in terms of Psak, and my Rebbe told me, oh no, he's a dumb person. My Rebbe knows I get nervous, like I didn't know what. He said, you heard me, I said he's dumb. He was making a point. He's not a Pesach. He doesn't know people. He's not a Pesach. What do you mean? Isn't Psak just you know Torah and you completely have no shaykhs? But each person, each case, each scenario in Psak, there are different shaitas. Is now the time for a chumrah? Is now the time for a kula? How do I apply? What's the Torah saying? And each scenario, each nuance, what Hashem want from this person? Is person by person? Of course, there's an objective halacha, but there's also an objective halacha for this scenario, in this case. But you have to understand the case and understand the scenario. To me, there was something so profound about somebody who understood Torah and its application to every person. This was a person. He was a kiddush shamayim. Any time I hung up the phone, when I was zeich in the last year to speak to him dozens and dozens and dozens of times, every time I hung up the phone, I said to myself, Kalish, you have to learn more Torah. You have to learn. You saw a person, a living example of somebody who lived Torah, who applied it. It was so practical. Every move was so Torah that he told me a few times, like in his soft way of giving a little mussar, you need a mikar, you need a source. If I said something nice, you need a source. And he mailed me, he sent me in the mail a source, he sent a shach, he sent a bach. He showed me, this is a yid who knew a lot of Torah, my limited knowledge, I didn't have sources, and he said, you need a source. So sad, so full of Torah, and so practical part of his life. He was a prince. We lost the prince. The Jewish people are down a prince. Because the Yid learned Torah and lived Torah, was kind. He didn't fall for superficial things. He looked at a Yid and he valued a Yid. He loved the Yid and you felt it. You felt the Ava and the love. I dealt with a situation. Here's a Yid at Talmud Chacham Muflag in his 70s. And we were dealing with the Yid who was a young Talmud Chacham, a young Rosh Hashiva, who's half the age of Rav Gissinger, not half the knowledge, much less than that. And the respect, Rosh Hashiva, the respect that he had to people, an honest respect, such a sincerity and a respect, beautiful. I asked him a shayla recently about something, so he told me a maysa about himself that was very instructive. He said him and his chevra were learning by Rav Yankov Kamenetsky. He was a Talmud, a very close Talmud of Rav Yankov Kamenetsky. And they were in Tarvadas, him and a group of chashuva Talmid Chachamim, and they were all students of Rav Yankov Kamenetsky. And Rav Yankov announced he's retiring. He's moving to Mansi, he's sitting and learning, and he's leaving Tarvadas. They were devastated, this Chabur, and told me, ripped their hearts out. Ripped their hearts out, the Rebbe retired. They probably felt like I feel today. I did not have the Shaychus to Rebbe Gissinger that he had to Rebbe Yankov, not close. But I can sense the feeling, what it means, your heart's ripped out. Big person, he was retiring. The Rebbe was leaving. And all the Chevron, they made decisions, they're all going to Lakewood to learn Torah. They're all going to move to Lakewood, to the Yeshiva Lakewood. They were in Torah Vadas. This Chevron was there for Rev Yankov. He was retiring, they're all switching to Lakewood. Rev Gissinger decided he can't part with his Rebbe, he can't. He just can't. I can't part from, he loved Rev Yankov. He was very close to Rev Yankov. I can't part from my Rebbe. So he decided, he enrolled in a yeshiva in Muncie that had nothing for him. It was a wonderful yeshiva. For him, he didn't have friends, he had nothing there for him, but he's just not parting from his Rebbe. So his Rebbe's retiring to Muncie, he'll be in a yeshiva there, and he'll be right near his Rebbe. That's it. That's it. So he enrolled in a yeshiva in Muncie. Rev Yaakov calls him in and says, Rev Shlomo, what are you doing? Where are you going? So he said, I'm going to a yeshiva in Muncie. He said, Shlomo, your whole chevra is going to Lakewood. What are you doing? So he said, Rebbe, I can't part from you. I can't. Rebbe's moving to Muncie, I'm in Muncie. I'm not parting from Rebbe. So Rav Yankov was moved. He said, no, no. He said, the Gemara Makkos, Harbi Lamadti Merabbi, I learned a lot from my Rebbeim. Mechavei Rayosim, my friend's more important. And he passed and he said to Rav Shlomo, enroll in Lakewood. He's been there since. He's been in Lakewood till his patira today. And his Rebbe sent him to Lakewood. He said, you go with your friends. So you don't give up your friends. It's a Rebbe's Geschmack. It's time for Dikto Chaverim, Pilpul Chaverim. You go to Lakewood. He paskened and sent him to Lakewood. He went to Lakewood, which he was till today. Till today he resided in Lakewood. His Rebbe sent him to Lakewood. This idea he told me twice. Halach l'maisa, we asked him a shaylut, one of my children, and he paskened based on this. What he received from his Rebbe about the value of Chaverim, ironically, that his Rebbe taught him to take precedence of Chaverim, he paskened on a shayla for one of my children about Chaverim and Rebbeim for a specific shayla. The importance of Chaverim Yosim. Importance of Chaverim. Yeah. I'm not here yet. We have to be maspid and there's certainly a lot. My son asked me from Eretz Yisrael, do you feel a sense of we have to fill the hole? I tell him, I think that will come. But first we have to know what we lost. I just feel tzar now. We have to know what we lost. There's a loss. There's an aveda for the Jewish people. Hundreds of families relied on this yid. Hundreds of families. Sai in Shailas and Sai in Hadracha and Chizuk. A beautiful yid. There's been a big aveda for the Jewish people. A prince. A prince was taken. Let's learn some of the Torah. It should be an Eloi for his precious neshama. This the Torah that we learned tonight. A few minutes of Torah. It says in this week's parashas, Ki seitze, ki sivne bayis chadosh. If you build a new home, vasisa maka l'gagecha. So you have a mitzvah d'raisa to build a maka, to build a fence. V'loisasim damim v'esecha. You're not letting make a dangerous situation in your house. It's dangerous to have an area. People walk, people go, and there's no fence there. It's a high area. Somebody can fall. It's dangerous. Ki yipol hanoyfel mimenu. Lest the faller fall from it. It's a dangerous matziv that the faller can fall. Very strange pasuk. It means a human being can fall. You should have a fence up if you have a high area in your house, you have an upstairs, you have a roof, so you have to put up a fence. A mitzvah d'arayis v'asisa makal gagecha. And I say, a positive command, lest somebody falls. But the Torah says, lest a faller falls. Ki yipol hanoyfel mimenu. Lest a faller falls from it. And the question begs, why does it call him a faller? A man or a lady, a human being will fall. What is he called? Perhaps the faller will fall. I mean, he's not a faller till he falls. Fallers don't fall. Human beings fall, and if they fall, now they're a faller. But it says, Ki yipol hanoifel mimenu. We had a mice in yeshiva. We had an amazing story in yeshiva. We had an amazing story as follows went on. Not this past year, I guess it would be called 2 years ago now. Somebody in yeshiva asked a question, and this question went around the yeshiva. A Beis Medrash is alive, a shmaka place of questions, of divrei Torah studied and learned. Somebody asked a kash in yeshiva that dazzled me. I was taken by the question. We didn't hear a good answer in the Beis Medrash. Somebody asked the Gemara in Brachas, that if you hear a house fell down in the city, you hear a house burnt down, so you're not allowed to pray. You can't say, Hashem, don't let it be a yid. It's a tefillah shav, that's a wasted prayer. The house fell down already. The house fell down already, it's a wasted prayer. So this person asks, like, what's the, Rabbi Kiva balls a mess, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? So pray, Hashem, don't let it be a yid. What's this like? What's this din, tefillah shav? It doesn't seem like the biggest crime. When he asked the question, it struck a nerve by me, because he didn't know for 6 years I've been grappling with this question. I have an unhealthiness when I pass by a car accident. We've been down the road, and I pass a car accident, I freak out. I start asking my wife, so what are you suspecting? It's a yid, what are you? And avad, it's not good, it's a guy. No human being should be damaged. But you're allowed to feel worse when it's your brother. And you're allowed to be more scared that it's your brother. So I always feel like davening. Hashem, you're not allowed to daven. The accident happened already. This question, what's the big deal? So I say, Hashem, please. No, don't do that. What's the big deal? What's this sack of tefillah shav? This is the kasha he asked. People would tell me, I'm not a philosopher. I don't care for philosophy. I care. Why can't I pray to Hashem? Halacha. The Torah, why can't I pray to Hashem? Hashem, please, don't let it... What's like the... No. Tefillah shav. Good question, Tzvi, you know? Like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Yonatan, you're asking to the question. So you pray, please, Hashem, don't... No, tefillah shav. So this question, like, went around the Beis Medrash. We were stuck. Reb Shalom Rabashkin comes to yeshiva maybe 3-4 weeks later after the question. Do you remember the timetable? A few weeks, I would say 3-4 weeks. This question is raised for a few Shabbos it was tumbled about. Nobody had a good, and I don't like philosophy, just a halacha, what's this gemara? Just a chazal, explain to me the chazal. Nobody had a good pshat. It went around the base. Mesh, I didn't hear anything satisfactory. Comes Reb Shalom. And we've said this in this shul, we've spoken. He told us, based on a chayvus halvavus, the difference in emunah and betachin. And he told us the difference in emunah and betachin, that there's two things a yid's supposed to do. If something didn't happen yet, the yid's supposed to hope that good happens, that he perceives. You're not supposed, I've seen people don't want to daven. I don't want to daven, whatever. You know, a guy's going on shidduchim. I don't want to daven for shidduchim. Hashem knows better. You know, whatever Hashem knows. It's not time to be from then. In prayer going forward, Hashem wants you to beg and plead and hope for perceived goodness. Goodness that you perceive as goodness. Somebody's sick. You know, it says Hashem knows whatever's best. Okay. No! Hashem wants us to hope and believe and beg Him and understand that and be confident that perceived goodness is going to happen. And we pray. What we perceive as good. He wants it. Because He wants a relationship. The same way the son goes, Dad, I want $5. He wants us to pray and hope for our perceived goodness. And I've seen people get all from Hashem knows better. No. Go fight Hashem. Reb Nosson Vachtvel, we used to speak about it. People get very frum at the wrong place. Pray and beg and plead and demand. Ask, fight with Hashem. Come fight with me. Fight. There should be a vikuach here. You see a chayla sick, we have to fight for it. We have to go, Hashem, no. Come on, he should live. We need him. And Hashem knows better? No. He wants us to fight and ask and demand and beg for what we perceive as goodness. That's on the future. Once something happens, our job is to have the belief. He taught us remarkably that every single day of the 8.5 years in jail, he had the following experience. At the beginning, at the end of every day, on yesterday, every day, yesterday's jail was the best thing that ever happened to me. Because Hashem did it. Today, Hashem, take me out of this Gehenna. Get me out of here. Get me, I beg you, and I plead with you, and I'm confident that you'll listen to my prayer. Get me out of here, it's Gehenna in here. And then if he didn't take him out, the best thing that ever could come on, Hashem loves me like crazy, more than I love me, he loves me. And this is what he did. It was remarkable, he taught us this 3-4 weeks after we had the Shaila, and we all understood. If the car accident happened already, and you're praying, you're using the wrong muscle. When it happened already, you were supposed to acceptance and submission. Command of Rahmanu, whatever Hashem does is for the best. It's not the time for prayer. It's not the time you're using the wrong muscle. It's the time to say, Hashem, you did it. This was the best. It's difficult. I don't always understand it. But you did it. You're crazy over me. You have all control and you did it and you're crazy over me. Command of Rahmanu Latafav. It was for my benefit. Thank you, Hashem, for what happened. For the past, we have to accept. For the future, we have to plead. That is a yid, that's amunah and betachim, as if Shalom taught us. And that was the depth of the Chazal. That if it happened already and you're praying, you're using the wrong muscle. Because it happened already. It's time for acceptance. It's time for to say that Hashem is meroinim, mikol machshava, Hashem is smarter. He did it, so this was the best thing to ever happen to me. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for what you did. Nishmas, I pashut want to say nishmas. What you did was good because it happened already. The acceptance of Hashem did it, command of Rahman al-Tavavid. If he didn't do it yet, he doesn't want us to say, Hashem, you know better. He wants us because he wants a relationship. So if he didn't do it yet, that's called prayer. And Hashem wants us to ask and hope for and understand that not just whatever you do is good. He wants us to want and to ask for our perceived goodness. What I perceive as goodness, I should pray to Hashem and beg. So many are hampered in prayer, held back. With a sense, Hashem knows. No! L'chu nav nivachecha, go and fight. Hashem, heal this person, bring her before. Because we need it. Don't just say whatever Hashem does. No. He wants us to fight and argue and plead and hope and believe that the perceived goodness will happen. And Avshalom described daily living like that. Thanking for yesterday's jail time. Yesterday's incarceration, command of Rahman Lutavavid, and today Hashem, take me out of here. I beg you, I plead with you. Take me out of here. And the belief and the Hashem will listen of Hashem's a Shemeya Tfili, he's gonna listen. That is how a Yid lives. And Mamish gave us such a clarity on this chazal of the Tfilah Shav. One of the great things that stops our acceptance of what happens is the what-if questions, all the questions of human intervention, of human failure. I would say, but, what if this person messed up, that person messed up? All the what-ifs that stop. Years ago, we suffered a devastating loss in yeshiva, and I had all these what-ifs. All these what-ifs. The Bacher was nifter on the way to a chumashi. I had so many what-ifs questions. And in the middle of the night, I was reading. I found in this Bacher's room, he had a cheshbon ha-nefesh he kept for 1.5 years. He kept a diary of his life. All different things he was working on. The main thing was not speaking Lashon Hara. He wrote, after 1 week, for this whole week, I did not say or listen or accept one word of Lashon Hara. He was working on things, a very practical diary. It did not have very emotional things. In the whole diary, had next to nothing emotional. It was practical, day in, day out. He would write in, you saw he was writing at night, and he would keep a cheshbon ha-nefesh. One of the last things he wrote, maybe the last, I don't remember. If it wasn't the last thing, second, third, one of the last things he wrote in the book. I'm sitting in my house, 1-2 in the morning, and I'm reading his diary, and maybe the last piece he wrote, maybe on the last week, he writes, life is too short. that. Then he was nifter in a car accident. And what I saw when I read that is Hashkochas Hashem. Hashkochas Hashem, all the what ifs. He was nifter and all the what ifs were nifter. Life is too short. This was supposed to be Hashkochas Hashem. Hashkochas Hashem, this is what Hashem wanted to happen. Ki yipol anoyfel mimenu, it says the faller will fall. Says Chazal, roi zelipol, he was worthy of falling, was Hashkocha. And it's taught here. Here where we're speaking about human error. We're speaking about somebody who constructed a house in such a faulty way, but it still says roi zelipol. This is one of the great contradictions of our life. I don't get into philosophy. It's just the one of the great contradictions of our life. We are obligated to live with a sense of responsibility. We can't say Hashem runs the world. No! Vasisa maka l'gagecha. You have a mitzvah d'oraisa to build a fence. L'isasim damin v'isecha. Don't make dangerous situations. Don't ever give up your responsibility. Say Hashem runs the world, whatever happens. No. A yid has a chiyuv to act and be responsible and accept achrayus, responsibility. And in the same pasuk that speaks about the responsibility of a yid, vasisa maka l'gagecha, l'isasim damim, you're responsible. And it's speaking about your responsibility. But don't ever forget, kiyipol anoifel. If the guy falls, with all your responsibility, he's a faller. It was Hashkochas Hashem. We live our lives, 6 days we work, and one way we don't work. One day Shabbos Kodesh. Both are so essential to our life. The 6 work days that say we bear responsibility, work, accomplish, do. And a human being lives with responsibility and has to live with achrayus. But there's a day called Shabbos. The day called Shabbos when the Yid understands that there's Hashkochas Hashem. I only present the Creator. I only act creative. And I live with the responsibility because so Hashem was geyser on me. To me, in the very pasuk, in the very verse in the Torah, that speaks about a Yid's responsibility. You're not allowed to have dangerous situations. It speaks about your responsibility. You're not allowed to drive fast. The Yid can't drive fast. You're not allowed to speed. Not allowed. A Yid's not allowed. That we have responsibility. Achrayus. We have to drive gishmak. We have achrayus. Leisasim damim. I'm mischar yitz, and every time I drove tired, I was a balaver, I'm sorry, I ever did it in front of you. I don't drive tired anymore. You're not allowed, it's us. Menach is chuyos, you lose chuyos. You lose merits. We don't look, okay, Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. Baruch Hashem, nothing happened, but you lose merits. You have no right, achrayus, responsibility. We don't just say whatever Hashem does. It's not what we say, we have a response. A bacher came to me today, he's thinking about dating. He said, I'm worried about Parnassus. I told him, I'm so proud of you. You have responsibility. He said, I can't just, does the Torah want me just to say, listen, whatever happens? I saw some damim, we have achrayus. We have responsibility. We're a world where a human being has achrayus. You're going to sign a ksuba and you say you're going to support somebody. We have achrayus. We have responsibility. And the pasuk which teaches us about human responsibility. You have no right to leave a dangerous thing in your home. What do you mean? Hashkochas Hashem. But this is a world that a human being has achrayus. And Hashem was mitzavos to live with achrayus. And to take responsibility. I saw some damim. Don't have dangerous situations. But in the very verse that speaks about human responsibility. In this same verse, it says, "Kipol anoifel menu." Don't ever forget that what happens, Hashkochas Hashem. And the tendency to blame human beings instead of acceptance, instead of saying Hashem runs the world, to blame human beings amongst them ourselves, and say, "I'm so stupid. Why did I leave late?" Hashem runs the world. The Rebbeinu Shlom Fierte Welt. Kipol anoifel roi zelipol. To understand Hashkocha, to believe in Hashkocha, to believe the Rabbeinu Shlomo did it, Roi Zelipo. In a world where, yes, a human being has achrayus, and yes, he has to live with that responsibility, Shabbos Kodesh can never be forgotten. Shabbos enhances the weekdays. Without Shabbos, all the workdays are a fraud, are a fake. There's Shabbos. There's a day Yitchaps. I'm not creator. I'm not a creator. I'm always fascinated. If you're into history a little bit, so our Zaydas, some people here, elder Zaydas, they were getting fired every Shabbos. They would work 6 days, then it would come Shabbos. They were poor. They were people, all our Zaydas, some elder Zaydas here, they were poor like crazy. They were all immigrants, trying with barely knowing English. They got very low paying jobs, and then Saturday they didn't come in, bang, fired from the job. Fired, kicked out. It's to think about what it means. You get a call, you're kicked out of the job. Fired! And you got to support your family. What fascinates me, I'm so moved. The Yid got fired Shabbos means he's Makir, Bnei Shalom runs the world. I'm not a creator. My family support on Hashem. Hashem, my family supports under Bnei Shalom. And then the Yid went back to work Monday and found a new job. I'm so moved by that. It's under Bnei Shalom. So why do you go back to work Monday looking for a new job? Achrayus is the world we live in, that Hashem's mitzavos. The Yid signed a ksuba and Hashem's mitzavos. He went back to a job Monday. The same Yid who didn't work Shabbos, the same Yid who got fired because he had a hakara that Hashem runs the world. And the Rabbanu Shalom, it's all the Rabbanu Shalom runs the world. That same Yid who had that hakara got a new job on Monday. I'm moved by that. That the perfectly balanced Yid, who knew Achrayus responsibility, who didn't give up on his responsibility. Don't make a dangerous situation. But all the while, with such a clarity, people are noifel. The Rabbanu Shalom runs the world. With all of man's responsibilities, with all of man's achrayus that he has to live with, people are noifel. But when there's a faller, it's Hashkachas Hashem. Don't let that stop you. With all human being responsibility and their obligations to do and what not to do, but when something happens, Hashkachas Hashem. There's a Rabbanu Shalom who runs the world and controls and manages everything, Ashkochas. Don't let that take away from the Ashkocha that you see Ashkochas Hashem. How many times, because of human error, does it stop us from the acceptance, Kipul Anoifel? And Bidavka here, when it speaks to Psukim that are talking about Achrayus, the Psukim that are saying, Loisasam Damim, take time out here to tell us, Kipul Anoifel, men. The faller falls. Don't ever forget with the pasuk that's talking about achrayus, that's talking about human error. Kipul anoifel royal zelipol. This is our responsibility in the world to see Hashkachas Hashem. In a world where a human being does have achrayus, but not to forget the message of Shabbos Kodesh. To see Hashkachas Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shel Fiyur Tevelt, Kipul anoifel royal zelipol. We should be zeicher aboisai to see Yad Hashem in our lives. Klal Yisrael, we should see Avramas Karen Yisrael. We need taka. We need to learn the lessons of Reb Shloimeh Gissinger's of the world. We need to learn the lesson to live with Hashem, to live with Torah Hashem, to listen to the halacha, to exactly examine. We need to find sources in the Torah. We need to learn, study Torah harder, more exactly, not just to say nice things. Where's the suvush state in the Torah? There was Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich from Torah V'Das, where Rav Gissinger was Zeicher, which raised Rav Gissinger, gave Claudius to Rav Gissinger. So Rav Shraga Feivel had a period where he was asking, your name, Mestami, your name after him. So he was asking Bachram to give Shmuzim. He was training, the Chevra were taking turns saying a vad. He was teaching them to have a Torah thought, and the guy spoke dazzling. One guy got up, he was a great orator, and he gave such ethics, such mussar, everybody was like jaw dropped. Shraga Feivel called him over after, and he wasn't harsh, but he said, you sounded like a priest. He gave him mussar, you sounded like a priest. Say something from Torah, come from the Torah, teach us Torah. You said ethics, you didn't come, vushtet. Bring a raya, bring a chazal, bring a memra. Reb Gissinger taught me that. Where does it say it? Bring a raya. Daniel, you need a raya, you need a source. He was so rooted and grounded in Torah, massive Talmud Chacham, tremendous Yediyas HaTorah. And then the way it was integrated into the world, The danger of people thinking there's a Beis Medrash and there's a world, this is a Yid who is debunked. The Torah which connects to this world, which is so relatable, which so guides us in every decision, this is a person. My worst nightmare for my children, a nightmare is to think there's like Limudat Torah, and then there's a world, like how do you... No, the Torah says to you how to work, how to be a husband, a father, a son, a grandson, a neighbor, a person. The Torah which talks to situations. A Yid who lived so connected to this world, so connected to people, so with it, is such a Kiddush Shamayim. Kulei Torah and Kulei connected, such a Kiddush Shamayim. Because there's no, because the Torah speaks about this world. The Torah we read about speaks about scenarios. This is so profoundly somebody who was about, who was somebody who was a Meir Derech and Halacha. The opposite of a view, you think a Paisik, people think a Paisik is a guy, like you have some studious guy in ivory tower who's Mufka. He has no Shaykhs to this world, and you go to him for Halacha. That's not a Paisik. If you don't know this world, you can't pass him in this world. If you don't know this world, you don't know Torah. The Torah speaks about this world. He was a person who knew medicine, he knew science. He was well educated in so many areas, in the sugi of bugs. He was at the forefront. He knew so many fascinating ideas. I was there once. Somebody came with a whole Indian. He knew the science. He knew so much about this world because he was a Paisik. And the Torah speaks about this world. You can't be a human being who doesn't know how to talk to people. It's impossible. See, you're not a Torah to commence. If you don't know how to greet people properly, if you don't know how to speak to all different types, then you're not Torah. It's not Torah. The Torah is the guide that tells a human being how to live in this world. You can't be Torah and you don't know how to say good morning to somebody, good afternoon. The Torah says, it's the very Torah commands us to greet everybody, to save upon him yafas. So you're not keeping the Torah if you don't know how to speak to people. We can't create a value of not being relating to people. And this Yid who was a Paskin Torah for people, who so understood people and related to people and connected and guided people. All of us, Rabbi Yosef, have to be mechazik in limudat Torah, in learning Torah, be mechazik in living Torah, bring a source. Where does it say for our behavior? And what does it tell us? What does the Torah demand from us to do and to behave? That's what we need. We pashut need to be memala makam. I don't know if that's the thought right now. We're just sad. I can't tell people what emotions are here right now. But I can say that we should be zoicha, all of us, to see Aramas Keren Yisrael, the restoration, the pride of the Jewish people. Klal Yisrael, L'kayim Banu Chachmei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael should have tzaddikim, gedoilim, ga'inim. We should have Rabbanim to guide Klal Yisrael. We should be zoicha. Hashem is shasal in every dar tzaddikim who guide us. Hashem should give us taka. Talmid Chachamim, people who know tremendous amounts, who taka have sources for everything, Hashem should taka give us, and we should taka all of us. Be mechazik, and all the great loves, the Avas HaTorah, the Avas Hashem, the Avas Yisroel, that this Yid had and gave to others, all of us should be zeichet, be mechazik, be mamalamah.